I think we need, like, drum roll, champagne, something.
That's not it.
Sorry. So item number six is public hearing for consideration of an administrative civil liability for Sheila Miner for violating a cease and desist order in Spalding. Is it your intent I read this entire piece?
I think you have to read some of the parts about in terms of the process.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the time and place for the California Regional Water Quality Control Board of the Mahanton Region to consider adopting an administrative civil liability order. The order presentation for the hearing will be, first, testimony of the Water Board prosecution team, second, testimony by the discharger, third, presentations by interested persons. All persons who wish to participate and have not yet submitted an appearance card, which looks like this, are requested to do so now, and you must note which agenda item you wish to speak to, i.e. item number six. This hearing will not be conducted according to the technical rules of evidence. The board will accept any testimony that is reasonably relevant to the matter under consideration. So all persons who expect to testify, please stand and raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony which you will give in this matter is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, so we will start with testimony from the Water Board prosecution team.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Scott Ferguson. I'm a supervising water resource control engineer on your staff. And this afternoon, as the slide says, we're going to be discussing agenda item number six, consideration of an administrative civil liability for Sheila Miner, who owns a property in the Spalding Tract community up in Eagle Lake. The prosecution team is alleging that she is violating a basin plan prohibition in addition to a cease and desist order that required her to comply with that basin plan prohibition. And I'll get into the details in just a moment. And before I also get going here, I just want to acknowledge that you usually see Lisa Scarelli before you making this presentation. And she has put the majority of the work into developing the documents that are before you today, but she was unable to attend, so I'm standing in. Real briefly, just looking at an overview of the presentation, provide you a little history to bring everybody up to date on why we're here. I'll review some evidence regarding the violation in the ACL order. Talk about the progressive enforcement that's led us up to this point. I'll go over the administrative liability complaint and how we developed our recommended liability. Talk a little bit about authority that the board has to take this action that we're recommending. And finally, I'll give you my final recommendation. So let's just talk real briefly where the area that we're talking about and discussing today. We're up in Lassen County, and this is Eagle Lake. And we're looking at the West Shore, little community, Spalding, and subdivision that was developed. It's about 20 miles northwest of Susanville. So that's where we're talking about. And what's really driving this today is back in 1984, the Water Board adopted a basin plan amendment that established a new waste discharge prohibition for the Eagle Drainage Hydrologic Area. And this prohibition basically prohibits the discharge of waste from the Spalding Tract and Stone Spingard subdivisions that has other than a zero discharge of nutrients to any surface water or groundwater in the Eagle Lake Basin. So the effect of this basin plan prohibition is that on-site wastewater disposal systems were no longer permitted and allowed to be used beginning in September 14th, 1989. It also includes outhouses, privies, all that fun stuff. So that's what forms the basis of today's action. A little history about how we've been following up on that waste discharge prohibition. So it became effective in September of 1989. To encourage its compliance with it, in 1991, we issued over 600 cease and desist orders to property owners in the Spalding Tract subdivision. Now, at that point, they didn't really have a readily available means to comply. They didn't have a community wastewater treatment system, but that was resolved finally in October 2007 when the Spalding Community Services District's community wastewater system became operational. About 9 months later, we sent out a Water Code Section 13267 letter reminding everybody that now they have the ability to comply with our waste discharge prohibition, that they were expected to, and we wanted to know if they had not, when they planned on doing so, and how. So we issued that. We got a couple responses. And so in coming 2 years after the wastewater plant became operational, we actually had about 500 properties in compliance through what I'll call voluntary compliance. That left us with a little over 100 that were still out of compliance. So we started progressive enforcement. And so this board adopted new cease and desist orders that established new compliance schedules, rescinded the old 1991 cease and desist orders, and gave everybody some additional time and laid out the expectation that here's when you need to comply. We got additional compliance. But we still had a few that were hanging on to non-compliance, so we issued them a notice of violation, informing them that their time was running out to comply and that ACLs or fines were going to be issued if they did not comply. And so that got us additional compliance, more progress. But as you're aware, we still had a handful of property owners that failed to comply, and we did fulfill our promise to issue ACL complaints. And for each ACL complaint that did come before this board for its consideration, the board did adopt ACL orders imposing some level of liability against them. I can also report that all the property owners that did come before you with ACLs have complied, have paid their fines, and we are down to our last property owner that is in non-compliance. Let's talk a little bit about evidence, what we have on with Ms. Meyer. We are relying upon Madison County records that show that Ms. Meyer does own a property in the Spalding Tract subdivision. That property does have a wastewater disposal system in the form of a septic tank leach field system. And that system is capable of discharging to the groundwater waste containing nutrients. We've consulted with the Spalding Community Services District to have them review and provide their records. Their records indicate that Ms. Meyer is not connected to their system. So that is one option of complying, is to connect her septic system to the community wastewater system. The district has no record of her ever. Another way to comply with the cease and desist order is to abandon your septic system in accordance with Lassen County regulations. And when you do so, the Lassen County issues you a certificate of abandonment. You consulted with Lassen County, and they issued no such certificate to Ms. Meyer for her property. So based on that, we have concluded that she continues to have an on-site wastewater disposal system that has not been connected to the district's wastewater system, nor has it been abandoned, and therefore continues to violate the cease and desist order and the basic plan of waste discharge prohibition. So in response to this situation, specifically to Ms. Minor, she did. We did issue one of the 13267 letters back in June 2008 to everyone else. Since when September 2013 came around, we were trying to clean up and get a hold of those people that we had not issued new cease and desist orders to. Ms. Minor was one of those. So we attempted to serve her a proposed cease and desist order in preparation to bringing one before the board, but our process service was unsuccessful in completing that task. And your agenda package contains exhibits that actually show that it appears that Ms. Minor was actively avoiding our process service, so going beyond what we had encountered with other property owners. So that meant we had to start the process over again. So in the fall of 2014, we were successful with serving a proposed cease and desist order to Ms. Minor, and in the following January, this board adopted a cease and desist order against Ms. Minor, establishing a new compliance schedule, giving her until July, I believe, 14th, 2015, to comply. That date came and went, and unfortunately, no indication of compliance. And in August 2015, we served her through a process service, a notice of violation, again notifying her she was in violation of her cease and desist order, and that we were preparing to issue her an ACL complaint if she did not comply. Unfortunately, we did not receive any indication of compliance again or proof, and in December 2015, we followed through on our commitment to issue an ACL complaint and did so, in the amount recommending an amount of $1,975. Before we issued that complaint, we looked at a number of factors, and these were some of the ones that aren't covered by the law, required by the law. But we looked at the situation, and we determined that this property owner had had ample time to comply. I mean, October 2007 is when it really became available, and here we are now in 2016. Also, ample notification that a fine was imminent if compliance was not achieved, and then again, absolutely no effort to comply. And in response, I mean, looking at what happened in September of 2013 with avoiding our process service, you could even say active avoidance. With that, we issued the ACL complaint, and as I said, we were recommending, we proposed a liability amount of $1,975, and we came upon that amount and based on the ACL methodology that is described and laid out in the State Water Resource Control Board's enforcement policy. So that policy and this methodology was established to help improve consistency and determining, establishing, and proposing liabilities, and we followed it to come up with our liability amount. So I want to spend over the next few slides here, I want to go through how we came about our recommended liability amount using the methodology. In this case, steps 1 and 2, which are relevant to discharge violations, do not apply in our case, so we get to skip straight to step 3. And this methodology is based upon evaluating all the factors that the Water Code requires Water Board staff and the Water Board to consider when establishing a liability amount. So the per day factor takes into consideration the nature, the extent, the gravity of the violations. And when you make the, and so in this case, in which is consistent with past liability ACL complaints from Spalding that have come before you, it gave us the 0.55 factor. We look at the maximum daily factor, which is the maximum liability amount that this board can impose per the Water Code. And then we look at the days of violation. In this case, we're using the violation period that's identified up there, which comes out to be 79 days. So the initial liability, based on multiplying these factors per the methodology, leaves us with $217,250 after the end of step three, partway through step three. Now the methodology also says when you have multiple days, like 79, a violation, if you meet certain criteria, you can revise for purposes of determining a liability amount the number of days of violation that you're going to use in there. In this case, Ms. Miner does qualify for such an adjustment, and staff has made this adjustment, as we did consistently for all the other property owners that came before you with ACL liability complaints. In this case, the result is we use 8 days for a revised initial liability of $22,000. Step four, these are three more factors identified in the water code that must be considered: culpability, cleanup and cooperation, and history of violations. With culpability in the past with other dischargers from Spalding Community Service or Community, we used a culpability factor of 1.3. And you can see we are recommending one of 1.5. The difference is, in the past, we have not seen any behavior that would constitute willful intent or some kind of indication of active avoidance of compliance. Whereas, once again, going back to our September 2013 experience with trying to serve a proposed CDO with Ms. Miner, we were seeing what we thought was active avoidance. And so we see that as being indication of willful intent or stepping it up above what our past property owners have come before you have done or have not done. So we feel that that does justify elevating it up to 1.5, which is the maximum for this factor. Cleanup and cooperation, right along the same lines, there has been none. And we have used 1.5 in the past for others that have not been cooperative, and that is also the maximum. History of violations is very narrowly defined, and what you're really looking at is there a history of violations, in this case of the cease and desist order, that have been documented in a separate and prior formal enforcement action by this water board. In this case, there has not been. So this is a fresh set of violations, the first set of violations of this cease and desist order, and therefore it gets a neutral factor of 1, which has no effect. So at this point, we do some more multiplication using these factors, and we come up at the end of step 5 with a recommended liability of $49,500. Moving forward is step 6, ability to pay. Now, we try to use what's easily available or readily available information, and we have traditionally relied upon property values of any properties that a discharger owns when we've brought other Spalding cases before you. Ms. Miner has properties, and this is based on Lassen County records, with total property value of over $170,000. As of 2015. Now, we don't know what condition as far as financial, what she owes, how they're mortgaged or anything, but based on this alone, it does appear that she has adequate assets to pay the liability. Now, she has also been afforded the opportunity to rebut our assertion that she has adequate assets. And in the ACL complaint package, she was provided the instructions and the documents identifying what information and which steps she needed to take to submit a rebuttal to our assertion. We have not received any that we're aware of. So based on that, we are recommending that there be no reduction in liability based upon ability to pay. Step 7. Other factors as justice may require. Now, this is a factor that the board in the past has used to justify dropping the liability down further. than where we're standing, which is prior to this step, we're still sitting at $49,500. So in looking at this, we wanted to see, was there a bottom floor statutorily or policy-wise? And there is. Water Code Section 13350 does establish a statutory minimum of $100 per day of violation, and unless the board makes express findings to justify going lower, and I'll get into that in a little bit. So just going with this $100 per day, it sets a bottom floor for the liability of $7,900. So the other thing that the Water Board has done, and this gets into express findings, is that they've considered what other actions they've taken, what other liability amounts they've taken in response to non-compliant Spalding property owners that have come before them. And the next two or three slides, I will provide a summary of what those liability amounts were. And I want to also point out that I understand you recently received a table that has a history. And in the far right corner of that document, there are several cells that have postponed in them. The slides up here will fill in some of those gaps, or fill in all those gaps, basically, because everybody that's on this list did receive some type of liability. So our first experience with ACLs up in the Eagle Lake Basin for failure to comply with the basin plan waste discharge requirement prohibition actually happened in a different subdivision, the Stones Bengard subdivision up on the North Shore. And in that case, a similar kind of history, CDOs were issued and stuff, and we finally got down to just having two property owners that were continuing to violate. And they came before this board, and they had not initiated any kind of compliance activity before coming to this board, and the board imposed liabilities in the amount of $6,500. So that was back in May of 97. Those two properties have since come into compliance. Our first go-around with ACLs with Spalding, the Spalding community, happened in July 2012. We had four cases where prior to the July 2012 hearing to contest those complaints, all four had come into compliance. And with that, the board imposed liabilities that ranged, four different liabilities that ranged between $106 and $137. And and that was significantly less than what we had been recommending in the ACL complaints. So in recognition of them coming into compliance between being issued a complaint and coming before the board, the liabilities were reduced. The three that you see that are linked to October 12, 2012, they were before you also during the July 2012 hearing, and this board gave them some additional time to come into compliance. Two of the first one that was in, did it at $213, did comply between the two hearings. So they took full advantage of the opportunity and complied. And I believe that $213 represents economic benefit plus 10%. The next one started to initiate compliance prior to the October hearing, but didn't quite complete it, so they received a slightly higher liability. And then we had one or two properties, same property owner, where they hadn't gotten around to it, but they gave the board all indications, and they actually, I remember this, convinced staff that they were going to take action and come into compliance. They just hadn't started that activity prior to the October hearing, but they were planning on taking care of it soon thereafter. And you can see there was a significantly higher liability of almost $1,750 imposed against them. And I have this bolded, this last one bolded in a different bullet, because I see this one being the most comparable situation or case to Ms. Miner's situation. With Ms. Miner, she has not initiated any compliance activity prior to a hearing before you. The only difference is this would be her first hearing, or it is her first hearing, and in the case of the October 2012, it was the second hearing. We still had a couple more in 2014 that we followed up on. And, of course, everyone has a unique story. So the one that was taken care of in February 2014, both of these came to you in February 2014. You completed the process for the first one at $559. This person had not complied prior to the hearing, but they had sold the property in between getting the complaint and coming to you with the hearing. And so the board imposed a liability amount that was equivalent to economic benefit plus 10%. You did provide some additional time to come into compliance for the second person who took full advantage of it and did so, and you imposed a liability of economic benefit plus 10%. You keep hearing me repeat that, economic plus 10, because that is one of the factors that in the ACL methodology is that all ACLs are to recover at least economic benefit plus 10% so that violations do not simply become the cost of doing business. I have just this graphic up here that is just an illustration of the decisions and the liability amounts that the board has imposed for these violations of cease and desist orders. And then I've put in today's proposed, and as you can see, it is in very close proximity to the situation that I said is most comparable. And I think that reflects both the methodology, which was intended to improve consistency in us selecting liability amounts, and I think it also lines up well with us just reviewing how the board has made their decisions and incorporating that into the analysis. So that's the history on what the board has done. A couple more steps. Economic benefit. The average cost to connect is $4,210. That was determined based on a survey of contractors a few years ago. And the economic benefit in this case for Ms. Miner is just the time value of delaying cost to connect, and it computes to $154. You put economic benefit at 10%, takes you up to $169.40. A little more, just more information moving forward. The methodology also wants you to look at the maximum and minimum liability ranges. Water Code Section 13350 does establish a maximum liability amount, which is $5,000 per day. You multiply by 79, you get $395,000. Our recommended liability is definitely under that. And then the minimum, as we've talked earlier, is $100 per day. It gives you $7,900, unless we make express findings, which I'll get into right now. So the ACL methodology, final step is to come up with the final recommendation. And what we did, which we've done with past ACL, or more recent ACL complaints that have come before you for Spalding, is we take the days of violation and we charge them $25 per day. So a quarter of the statutory minimum if we did not make express findings. And what the board has relied upon in the past for those express findings is consistency with their past decisions regarding ACL complaints in the Eagle Lake Basin for violation of the waste discharge prohibition. And that's what we are recommending happen today. That express finding is included in the proposed ACL order that's before you. And so it is all set up for adoption and justification of imposing the $1,975, which is significantly less than the $7,900. Just a couple more slides. Your authority to take such action, imposing liability, comes from Water Code Section 13350. It identifies the conditions under which ACLs can be adopted, which in this case is a violation of a cease and desist order. Also identifies the factors used to determine the liability amount, which are also captured in the ACL methodology. Finally, it identifies the criteria for imposing liabilities less than the statutory minimum, and that is where it requires you to make express findings, which I've provided both as a slide and in the proposed order. Reasons for adopting the proposed order: we believe it's fair enforcement. We're down to our last property owner. Over 600 property owners have now come into compliance, and it is only fair that we bring the final one into compliance too. Everybody has spent some kind of money to bring themselves into compliance, and we should not let another person simply slide. It's consistent enforcement. We are treating Ms. Minor no differently than we have treated other property owners that have failed to come in compliance. We have followed the same process. We've been consistent, and this is the type of response that you have imposed or taken to those that have resisted the most to comply with your basin plan prohibition. We've seen absolutely no effort to comply. We've even seen effort to avoid compliance. And then finally, we want to maintain a deterrent to future violations. So we don't want to send out a message that you can outlast us or you can wait us out. We want to send the message that when this board issues an order, its expectation is that you will comply with the order. And failure to do so will have consequences. Continued failure to comply with orders will have additional and more significant consequences. So that's the other message and reason for adopting the ACL order. And that brings me to our recommendation, which is to adopt the ACL order as proposed and is before you today, imposing a liability amount for $1,975. And that concludes my presentation, and I'll entertain any questions that you may have at this point.
Thank you very much for that very clear explanation of how you reached the proposed liability amount.
Thank you.
Board members have any questions for Mr. Ferguson?
What has the communication been with her? Has she ever responded? Has she ever talked to you or any members of the staff?
No. And as a result, even when we've reached out and stuff, that's what's driven us to having to use a process server, is to ensure that she gets the critical communication. So we do not use process servers to issue notices of violation. Typically, that is going beyond.
I find your offer here of this liability amount very gracious. I would have gone for the $7,000 amount and then possibly held $4,300 in abeyance if she connected, which would leave her with about $3,600 to pay. I don't think this is enough for her active avoidance. I think it's way too gracious.
Well,
just my thoughts.
And I'll just point out that the Water Board does have the option of increasing, decreasing the liability. You can increase it up to the maximum. You can decrease it if you want to make additional express findings, or you can adopt what I'm proposing. So you do have those options.
I'd like to hear from Vanessa about Chairman Cox's, Board Member Cox's suggestion. I think in the past, the Office of Enforcement's position is that we can't do what she's suggesting.
So this is Vanessa, and I'm counsel for the prosecution team for this matter. So in terms of proposing a liability, you can modify And the board can go ahead and make findings. And what it would do for this matter is modify under other factors as justice may require the findings that we made.
I'm specifically referring to the doing the 6,000 or 7,900 and then collecting it if they...
Correct. So in terms of modifying the liability, you can, but you cannot make it contingent on the fact that they will come into compliance. You can't suspend liability based on that fact. And that's a fact of the enforcement policy methodology in of itself. A penalty is for the purpose of a deterrent, and it's not meant to suspend part of it so that you can give them a chance to comply. That chance has come and gone, and the reason why the penalty is here before you now.
So that was our previous... In 2012, we really, the board had really wanted to go that route, but we're discouraged from doing so.
Yeah, the enforcement policy, since it came into effect, specifically prevented boards from having that flexibility. But in the end, the result has been better compliance throughout the different communities among the regional boards. So.
Other questions?
Well, so if we go with the 1975 and she doesn't pay it, what then?
The board order is set up to authorize your executive officer to pursue a judgment against Ms. Minor, which is what we would do. We would start that process, get a judgment, and then we would look for methods to actually collect on it. So that's one of the last provisions in the ACL order.
I'm not in favor of such a low settlement, but I'll go along with the wishes of the board.
Other questions on this side? Mr. Bass.
Scott, I'm having trouble understanding how the proposed liability of 1975 is consistent with how we treated the residents of Stone Vanguard subdivision on slide 13.
It's not. That was our first shot at it, but it is consistent with what we have done the last, I'm going to say at least the ACLs in 2014 that came before you. Stones Vanguard was a different series of actions. So we issued CDOs back in 1991. They were so outdated that the board actually was looking at minimum liabilities of $100 per day and seeing incredible numbers. And so to avoid that situation, they issued cleanup and abatement orders and then quickly followed through on them so that the minimum liabilities did not build up. And the $6,500 actually represents 65 days of violation of the cleanup and abatement orders at $100 a day.
Okay, thank you.
No, they've been addressed with subsequent questions.
Okay, Mr. Journey? A question about the Stone Vanguard. How did they comply? There was no community service district.
No, there was.
Okay.
A wastewater treatment. So same thing. They just got to it earlier.
Earlier, okay.
Yes.
So another... that answered the question. You're muttering.
That's okay. I don't know more about this post-tones. I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay, don't need to at the moment. Do you know how much the state of California has paid to try to get Ms. Minor to comply?
No. I don't. Vanessa, do you know how much our process server costs by chance?
Well,
I don't know the terms of the...
staff time?
Oh, staff time?
Yeah.
You don't... Since we... I wouldn't even want to venture a guess. Well over 100 hours over the time.
And how much was the process server? I mean, let's just throw all the numbers out there.
Do you know?
How many thousand?
Our Office of Enforcement, our legal staff is estimating a couple thousand dollars maybe.
Total?
Per?
Just
total.
Total.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is, I'm sort of running through my theories of justice that I've been learning in law school, and I'm really perplexed. But we can continue running through the process here and have our discussion after we finish the process. So, oh, yes, I'm sorry.
I had a question about what next. One was answered, which was what happens if Ms. Minor does not pay, which is something we do routinely. The state book has someone who helps us collect monies from people who don't pay. The other what if is, or what next, is if the board adopts ACL and amount, and Ms. Minor still does not comply, meaning connect or abandon properly, what are the tools that we could do next on that?
We have a couple of tools. We could issue another ACL. So this ACL only covers the first 79 days of noncompliance. Okay? And that first 79 days ended, I think, I have to look at that. I think October 1st is when it ended. So we've accrued a whole lot more since. So we could go after another ACL. We could also refer it to the Attorney General for them to go after Ms. Minor. And those are the primary ones. Those are our two top remaining tools.
Is the Attorney General likely to pursue that?
You know, the Attorney General, going back to Stone Spengard, after you imposed the liability, there was not payment, there was not compliance, and we did refer it to the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General's office did get involved, and we did finally get things settled and achieve compliance. So, I mean, that was back in 1997. But so there is the possibility. I wouldn't want to speak to if it's a high enough priority for the AG to get involved with this. But it is a possibility, and we've actually seen it in this watershed for a similar situation.
My name is Lori Kemper, for the record, and I just want to explain to the board, too, that the circumstances are slightly different because the two property owners, it was Greg and Heather Babb and John Basta in Stones. They both owned houses and at different times spent a lot of time using their property on their septic systems. Sheila Minor has a vacant piece of land that's falling track with the septic system that doesn't appear to have been used. In terms of the scenarios, too, that Patty was sort of asking questions about, is that what, you know, at this time, I'm not recommending my staff spend any more time on this. You know, we're sort of done in our minds in terms of we'd like to close this out with a penalty of some amount and then move on, try to recover the money or potentially put a lien on the property. So when the property is sold, there would be payment. And then the other thing, too, is that if there was, I would say if there was indication that somebody was trying to build or, you know, buy the land or a change in land use, essentially, we would be alerted by the county or the community services district or a nosy neighbor, you know. So if things changed on the ground, we could then decide to take additional enforcement action. But hopefully at the point in time that someone went to get a building permit, the county would insist that they connect to the community sewer system before they move forward. So that I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of those particular circumstances.
This is a threatened pollution,
yeah.
Not a real event, right?
Okay, if there are no more questions for the prosecution team, is there any testimony from the discharge? Okay, hearing none, is there any? Are there any interested persons here who wish to testify? In that case, I'll close the hearing. Now, my question to the board is, would you elect to adjourn to closed session to discuss this, or are you happy to discuss this in open session?
session works for me.
Does that work for everybody? Okay, so with that, board discussion. Mr. Sandell.
Plainly, she's not interested in playing, but I'm not sure how big a deal we could make of it, in the sense that there is no actual pollution going on here. It sort of looks more like an abandoned property, almost. And she just doesn't want to put any more money into it. So if we pursue today's ACL, just short of $2,000, and it results in a lien against the property, she won't be able to sell it without paying. And if we refer it to, or however we try to collect it, we do that too. And maybe we just let it just stop there until something happens with the property, like it gets sold, or somebody tries to build, and not wasting any more time on it. And since nobody's polluting, I don't think we should get an incredibly exercise for that.
Ms. Cox?
I'll go along with the wishes of the board. I think that was a key point from Lori, that there's no structure on the property.
Mr. Vance?
I think the recommendation, the liability from staff is appropriate. We should go.
Mr. Jardine?
And I agree.
I would just, I'm not sure if they can put a lien on the property for the amount.
Really? Has to be more?
No, I just don't know if they can put a lien on the property. I know if we spend money for cleanup, that we can put a lien on the property. We do get a judgment, and that judgment is against her, but it's not a lien on the property.
So that would require more expense on our part.
To collect, and we do have resources, that we use to go after, and there are people that go after judgments for us, but they go after the higher dollars more.
Yeah. It would cost us something to get a judgment.
And am I correct, Kim?
But that's, that goes to say a higher amount isn't going to get you more money necessarily either. So
if there was a judgment and, say, for example, Ms. Meyer goes into bankruptcy, we're still not guaranteed to get the money because there may be
secured creditors
ahead of her in line that would get the money first. So a judgment isn't necessarily guaranteed that you would get the money. Do I hear a motion?
I move the staff recommendation.
So I hear a second?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Sandell, seconded by Mr. Jardine. We'll have a roll call vote.
Okay. Mr. Sandell.
Aye.
Ms. Cox.
Aye.
Mr. Dias.
Aye.
Mr. Jardine.
Aye.
Chair Horn.
Aye.
Carries.
And with that, item 6 is behind us, and the enforcement team can have champagne tonight.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Yeah.